Well, even if you're an occasional listener to the show, you will likely know that I'm a big fan of our state. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And I love so many things about the state, and I think Mike Bino does as well. In fact, I'm sure he does. He's the editor of Our Wisconsin magazine. It's a magazine that really celebrates what life is all about in our state. He joins us from his office in Manitowish Waters. And as we visit with him today, I hope you'll think about ways that you like Wisconsin and what you think about Wisconsin or events that are coming up that you want to make sure that people know about. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Maybe you have, maybe you're planning to go somewhere in the state and want to know what's going on in that area. We're always happy to help. Mike Bino with us by phone. Mike, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Always great to be here, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so much fun. Our Wisconsin magazine's been around a couple of years now. Things seem to be going great with it.
Yeah, we launched it in 2013, and we did so with the idea that we would give voice to the stories of people, regular people like you and me, neighbors all across Wisconsin, to share those stories and let people know why their corner of Wisconsin's the very, very best place to live. We got going in 2013, and we're just wrapping up our third year, and we have more than 100,000 subscribers.
It's just an amazing number of subscribers. And I can see why. I mean, we get a subscription here, and I'm looking at the October-November issue, and it's just absolutely stunning. There's a stunning photo of the beautiful fall colors on Audie Lake in Rusk County. You know, you get a look at the reflection in the water. Almost looks like a painting.
Yeah, that photo was taken by Suzanne von Schrader, and it's a wonderful, idyllic little spot, and she happened to catch, looks like an older couple who just hit it just right insofar as the color, taking their fishing boat out, and looks like they have the lake all to themselves. Best time of year, Larry. For me, it just is. Here where we live in Presque Isle at the top of Vilas County, as everybody knows, the colors are a little bit late this year. I've never seen it like this, but that's part of the wonderful experience of living in Wisconsin. Things are changeable. Normally, September 27th is about peak color here. I would say last weekend would have been peak, and there's still a lot. It's a beautiful, blue, sunshiny day here. I can see yellow in the sugar maples. I can see some reds. All the leaves are not down. There's still plenty of color in northern Wisconsin if people want to get out and see it.
And you know what else is so good? I just go outside. When I'm in anywhere outside, but northern Wisconsin, in particular where you are, I love to just go outside and take a big breath and smell a great air. It just smells different at this time of the year, doesn't it?
It does. It does. You know, what they say is that the aromas that you take in of all the senses, all that's going on in your senses, you know, visual, auditory, smell seems to go right straight into your brain. And whenever I walk through the woods and we've got damp leaves down on the ground, it takes me back to the time when I was 11 years old, walking alongside my father, probably somewhere outside of Green Bay, where he took me along with his beat up old double barrel Stevens shotgun, and just walked for some grouse. I don't recall anything about that day insofar as him shooting or bagging any game. Or what I recall most is that fragrance. Yeah. You can almost taste it, and it takes me right back to being alongside my father.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And you mentioned grouse, and I'm looking at the cover of your magazine is a beautiful cover as well.
Yeah, how can you beat a beautiful picture of a rough grouse? I grew up hunting grouse with my father, and fortunately for those beautiful birds, I'm not a very good wing shot. I say that, I admit that, and that's fine. If nothing goes down, it's just wonderful to walk in the woods with my little red Labrador Chester, who's our assistant editor. He's snoring alongside me right here. And here's a shout-out to all those grouse hunters, and go out and give it a hurrah. I'm going to do it this weekend at the cabin of friend Dick Teske on Papoose Creek in Winchester Township. I know that folks are going to be all around Park Falls, Butternut. In our issue, there's, I think, a colleague of yours, Jerry Davis, is a botanist and a biology professor from UW. He grouse hunts in Bayfield, so he's going to be heading from Barneveld up there, he told me. And wonderful excuse to just get out in the woods.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jerry's a great guy. He'd be a fun guy to hunt grouse with, for sure. Barbara in Glenwood, Iowa, has a comment, so let's go there. Barbara, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, it's great to talk to both of you. We love the magazine, but we wanted to talk about a very unexpected view that we encountered last week. We were coming back from Michigan on the ferry, so we came into Manitowoc and picked up 151 to go back to Madison for the game. And all of a sudden, between Chilton and down to Pipe, leading down to Fond du Lac on the east side of Lake Winnebago, we came upon the most beautiful farmsteads, and then this came over a hill. Here's this spectacular view of Lake Winnebago. We had no idea you could see all that from the east side of the lake. We'd always used the route on the west side. So it's a main road, but I just thought, as much as we explore all over the country on back roads, that it was a grand and beautiful surprise.
Oh, and what now, name the road again, because people are going to...
151.
151. I've been on that road many times, and I know
it's... Right out of Manitowoc, and headed west, and particularly between Chilton down through to the town of Pipe, and on down to Fond du Lac. There were just these great views of this lake. At one point, you could see almost the whole lake as you just came over a hill. It was a good thing there was nobody behind us, because we hit the brakes fast. And said, oh, my goodness.
Oh, man, that's wonderful. Barbara, thank you so much for calling. Comment from you, Mike?
Oh, yes. Barbara, you know, part of me wishes you didn't say that so loud, because that is such a beautiful and quiet area. But I grew up in De Pere, and I didn't realize how close... how much beauty was just that close to me, because every time I went south, it was straight down 57, and there's nothing wrong with the dairy farms and the Holsteins, and that's pretty in its own right. I saw a lot of red clay soil and just made time on the road. Well, it took a little poking around in the back roads, specifically during sturgeon spearing season, when that place really becomes interesting. To see and appreciate the topography around Brothertown, Sherwood, the areas she's talking about on the east side of that lake, that's the Niagara Escarpment. That's where the ledge runs up and into Door County and, of course, along the Great Lakes region to Niagara Falls. So you have a ledge. You've got limestone ledge there that you can get up high and you can see, and it feels... It was surprising to me how much it felt like Door County, the orchards, the rolling land. And she's right. Do you ever get a view, especially of the sunsets? And when everybody thinks about Lake Winnebago, of course, they think about the corridor, you know, the Fox Valley cities that are on the other side. And I can appreciate those because I was born in Oshkosh. But I got to tell you, I agree with Barbara. That is one of the prettiest areas in the state, and not very well known.
Yeah, absolutely. Barbara, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, by the way, if you have a question or comment. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Have a comment or a question? Maybe you've seen something recently that you just loved and would love to hear about that. Maybe there's an event coming up in your area that'll be fun to talk about.
give us a call. Shoot us an email or go on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our page. And post there. And we have some nice photos already. One from Paul in Sereno. It's a beautiful shot of Upson Falls from him. And then there's another shot from Daniel, a basket full of reasons to love fall in Wisconsin. We're enjoying a bumper crop of many varieties of mushrooms this year, thanks to all the rain. And he's got a nice basket of mushrooms, for sure. So great photos. I hope you'll go to our Facebook page and take a look at The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of the page. You don't have to be a member of Facebook to go there. But I want to go back to our earlier caller's comment, because she's mentioned Manitowoc. And the first thing I thought about after listening to her a little bit was, wait a minute, there's a story in Our Wisconsin magazine, this issue about the sub-builders from Manitowoc.
Yeah, what a story that was, and it is, because some of the people who built these subs are still alive. They're with us. They're veterans of the war at home during World War II. We had Tom Davis, who's a great writer.
Yeah,
went ahead and found some of the folks who built those submarines in Manitowoc. Now, for those who don't know the story, during the war years, the shipyard in Manitowoc got turned into a submarine building hotbed. There was only one other one in Connecticut at the time. And the workers in that shipyard swelled from 500 to 7,000, working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They built 28 submarines, and it was a little. And they were tested in the lake there. And then, how do you get them from the lake out to? I mean, large war vessels. How do you get them from the lake into the ocean when in the middle of the Midwest? So Charles West, the man who ran the shipyard, came up with an idea, and that was to make a large floating dry dock. They were towed down the Chicago Ship and Sanitary Canal in the Illinois River into the Mississippi River, and they were set free at New Orleans to join the battle in the Pacific Theater. Cheesemakers and cherry pickers built these submarines. They bust in people from all around the Fox River Valley to get that many. They didn't all come just from Two Rivers and from Manitowoc. And would really like to give a shout out here on that story.
It's a really cool story.
Well, a shout out to the people who built those submarines, and Laurel Grove Nursing Center or Senior Center. There were a couple of people there who volunteered to talk with Tom and share their experiences. At age 100, sharp as tacks, and were very proud of what they did. Manitowoc is the only city in the United States that has its streets named after submarines. One other thing, you've seen these pictures of ships being launched, and they smash the bottle there, and they send it down the chute stern first. Well, that couldn't work into the Manitowoc River, where they were launching these boats, because there wasn't enough room. Submarines are too long. So they launched them sideways, which caused a big tidal wave that about took out the shore on the other side, and the kids all got off school to watch, and the bands played, and the whole town was proud of what they'd done. A lot of pride in that story.
Yeah, a lot of pride in that story. And the photo, I love the photo. I mean, it's a very dramatic photo of that submarine going into the water. It's really cool. And I did like, not to beat it too long here on this story, but the photo, I noticed there were, I think, 10 workers in the photo, all women.
Yes, Wendy the welders. They didn't rivet the submarines so much. Those were the aircraft builders. I just found my note here. Carl Umlandt, okay, he was the operations manager, 100 years old, and I wanted to give a shout-out to Rachel Pelnar at the Laurel Grove Assisted Living in Manitowoc, because she is the one who found all the volunteers and gathered them for this interview.
Very, very, very cool. Talking with Mike Bino today, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. He joins us from his offices in Manitowish Waters, and one of my favorite places to be here in Wisconsin. And we're celebrating Wisconsin today a little bit. What's going on in your part of the state? Do you have a question about activities or events, or maybe you know of an event you want to talk about? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page titled The Larry Mueller Show. Cheyenne Lentz, our on-air producer. I'm Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, talking about Wisconsin and celebrating it with our guest, Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. I really enjoy this magazine. I love getting it. It comes out every 6 issues per year. So we have the October-November issue out right now, and it is beautiful with many, many fun stories. You may have a question or comment. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Certainly love to hear from you. We have, there's so many stories, Mike, that we could talk about. I really enjoyed, there's one called Blowing and Flowing, which got me going a little bit.
That's the one about the glass blowers.
Yes.
In Ulu, Wisconsin. Now, where is Ulu, you say? Do you know Larry?
I honestly, you know, I've lived here my whole life, and I don't know.
It's a tiny town in Bayfield County.
In Bayfield County? I should have known that.
It's tough to find because it's kind of tucked back off in the farm country and away from Lake Superior. A lot of beef cattle are raised there. They raise the beefers. It's not so much a dairy there, but a couple decided in the early 1970s to set up their glass-blowing gallery and studio there in this tiny town. It's a fun, odd-shaped sort of dome building. And
it is weird.
It is. And they set it up themselves, and you might say glass-blowing goes from gritty to pretty. I mean, it's
beautiful stuff.
It's got a very industrial feel in that place where they're working with glass at 2,200 degrees between two furnaces. One's at 2,200 and one's at about 900 or a little more than that. It's like dipping honey. They take this long metal pipe, dip it into this molten glass, and they use centrifugal force and the air in their lungs to blow it up and cause it to and shape it. They add colors and
it's just beautiful.
The thing about that glass is it looks as if it's still moving, but then it's just sort of frozen there. But they have a gallery, and they also have classes. They also run demonstrations there, and they invite everybody to come out there and see it. You can find a lot of their pieces are for sale. They sell them online, but they're also for sale in the city of Bayfield. You can find Ulu Glass. It's worth the visit just to meet the friendly folks, Jim and Sue, and then take a look at this artwork they're doing.
I'm definitely next time I'm in Bayfield, which probably won't be for a few months now, but I'll definitely be stopping by to take a look. It's beautiful. Scott in Osseo has a comment for us, so let's go there. Hi, Scott. Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know about an upcoming event, actually, at Whitehall Memorial High School. We're having Wisconsin's first Veterans Writing and Arts Day on November 7th. We're going to be celebrating veterans' creativity of through any of their writing or visual arts or performing arts. We're doing that through our nonprofit organization, which is based in Osseo. It's called the Heartbeat Center for Writing, Literacy, and the Arts. And we're pretty excited about that, and we're looking for veterans from around the state who still might be interested in participating in this project and sharing their writing and some of their visual art. And like I said, it's we're just going to be celebrating in the public eye all kinds of creativity that state veterans and veterans in adjacent states, by the way, have available.
Well, Scott, thank you so much. I wish you'd post a note up on my Facebook page. Our Facebook page title is The Larry Mueller Show. You can go there and post a comment so that we've got it up on our Facebook page and people can then, you know, get all the information they need from that, which would be wonderful. And you know what I was thinking as you were talking about that? I think it's such a wonderful idea to encourage writing. And that's one of the things that happens with Mike in our Wisconsin magazine. You certainly encourage writing, could be from veterans, but from pretty much anybody in the state.
That's true. When you're talking about stories from veterans, we have some stories from veterans in the magazine.
Yes.
From time to time. What Scott's talking about is important. It's oral history, and it's stories told by the people who lived it, and nothing gets closer to it or more rich than that. So we, in every issue, we try to have this is a current day magazine, but we try to have three or four short feature stories from people with that I remember when kind of angle. And also what's going on today. Now, he just mentioned an event. So we do work events into these stories about people so that folks can learn a little bit more about Wisconsin and maybe get out there and take a day trip or a weekend trip and give you an excuse to see the country. Like Barbara said earlier, she never realized that just the east side of Lake Winnebago looked as pretty as it does. So even for those of us who've lived here our whole lives, you can never stop discovering.
There's always something new out there. Thanks again, Scott, for calling. Appreciate it. And please do post a note up on our Facebook page. Love to have that. Judy in Krivitz, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just want to thank you, first of all, for the magazine, the program, but the article at really hit us this time was the article on the Krivitz Outdoor Mass. We're just a little community up here, and we're so happy to see something from our small area. And I don't know who wrote it or anything, but it really, I want to thank you for that.
Oh.
Sure, that's the Cauldron Falls Chapel, Chapel in the Woods.
Right. We live about 3 miles from there, and we enjoy the Mass every Saturday night at 5:30, and Father Burkhardt is really a wonderful, wonderful man. He's retired, and he's kept this Mass going I don't know how long, but we're happy we have him.
Now, you're on the High Falls flowage there, Peshtigo River, pretty country, Judy.
Yep, we're on number 10 landing, which is the Cauldron one. Yep, it is. We moved up here from the Milwaukee area 19 years ago, and we do not want to leave it.
You haven't looked back. Yeah, well, there you go. Thank you so much for that call. And it's good to point that out. That outdoor Mass is really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The area where this is happening, for those who don't know about the Peshtigo River, that land was preserved originally by the power utilities up there because it was tied in with the dams. And it looks like Ontario. There is so little development on this flowage that's going through there. There's very few buildings. And somebody once told me, I do not know if it's true, that that famous Ham's beer sign that rotated in the 1960s with a picture of an island with a tree on it was shot off of one of the bridges across the Peshtigo River by probably some ad agency in the 60s. I don't know if that's true, but, man, it sure looks like wilderness. But the chapel, it looks about like a garage, and I think maybe it was, built off a garage plan, 24 by 24, with a little steeple on top, and this was set up in 1957 for the deer hunters. And over the years, summer vacationers found it much more convenient to go to services right near where their cottages are,
sure,
on the flowage, rather than driving into town. So they still hold the services until it gets too cold and the holy water starts freezing again.
Well, Judy, I thank you so much for calling, and thanks for that reminder. It was great to have a chance to talk about that particular article as well, and that's pretty cool, really pretty cool. Marsha in Lake Tomahawk. Hi, Marsha. Thanks for calling. Let's see if we get her on here. Hi, Marsha.
Hello.
Yes,
I'm calling about the submarine discussion.
Yeah.
And it really hit home, and I was reminiscing about sitting on the hill behind the Kutniks' home in Manitowoc on the river, watching the first submarine being launched sideways and holding our breath for fear that it wouldn't right itself.
Oh, man. How old were you?
I was in high school.
You're in high school.
Right. And then we used to, my mother and dad, Mary and Harry Pearson, used to entertain the submariners. We always had a full group of them at our Sunday dinner table. And they would bring, it was during rationing time, so they would, you know, bring some of the butter or meats or what have you to help us along, too. And then I remember getting up early, early in the morning and watching the submarines pull out into Lake Michigan to do their practicing. So it was quite a thrill to hear your discussion.
Oh, well, you've got to take a look at the story then as well, Marcia, for sure.
I certainly will.
Yeah, and well, there you go. Here we got somebody that actually observed it and saw it. Mike?
Marcia, the neat thing about that story is, as a high schooler, you obviously were aware of what was going on, and it sounds to me like you and the whole town were pulling for that boat.
Oh, we certainly were. My brother Robbie had gone into the Navy and was over fighting in the Pacific.
Oh.
So we had a direct connection and kept in touch with quite a few of the people who had come in.
Oh. That's in itself a great story, Marcia. Thank you so much for calling and sharing that. I really appreciate it. And I know Mike does as well. Thank you again. We have Tom in Green Bay up next. I want to give Tom a chance. Hi, Tom. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Just wanted to tell you, at 84 years old and enjoying old age, I found a real cheap way to get Christmas gifts. I send a subscription to all my friends for Our Wisconsin magazine, and I send a different list each year.
Oh.
But I got one more observation on the submarines at Manitowoc. Did you realize that thousands of high schoolers used to take their dates along Lake Michigan to watch the submarine races?
Oh, man, that is, well, see, Tom, he's of an age when that was kind of a popular thing to talk about.
You didn't do that, did you, Tom?
Nope, I wasn't fortunate enough. I couldn't get my car off.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, Tom. God bless you for that first part of your message.
Yeah, so actually, I'm glad he brought that up because I mean, frankly, it's Our Wisconsin is not, well, talk about how you get subscribed and with the costs and so forth. It's not very expensive.
Oh, thank you, Larry. Yeah, a one-year subscription to Our Wisconsin is $16.98, and That is going to hold true into November when it goes to 1898, and that's where it will settle in. We're following the path that we've used in the past, keeping the price low. And so if folks are interested in either subscribing for themselves or sending a gift subscription, you can do so online at OurWisconsinMag.com. They're $16.98, so beat the price rushing coming up next month.
And we have a, I think we have a link on our Facebook page. Cheyenne, we have a link? Yeah, Cheyenne says, yeah, of course we have a link. We have a link on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show as well, if you didn't get that. I wanted to comment, too. Shar sent us a note, too. The fall art tour, 22-year Wisconsin tradition, Wisconsin's oldest rural art tour. It starts this Friday through Sunday. Stop by and say hi. And we've got, Char says, and there's a, I think a link, if you click on it, there's a photo. It says Fall Art Tour. And I think if you click on that at our Facebook page, you're going to find out more information about that tour. That sounds like fun, too. I've done the art tour in past years and parted with some money from my billfold, which was just fine because we found some pretty nice things to purchase and had a really good time doing it. So thank you for that note. And, boy, there's so many more things that you and I can talk about. There's so many comments. I did want to say, follow up on some of the comments. The Facebook comment from Lynn says, love looking at my Our Wisconsin calendar for October. Beautiful maples and Lake Superior in the background peeking through. And that calendar is, I have that calendar as well, and it really is a lot of fun to have up. It's beautiful shots.
And those can also be had at OurWisconsinMag.com. There's some wonderful photography in this. So a lot of material that never made it into the magazine. This place is so rich, can't fit it all into six issues.
Nancy had a comment, love your magazine, Mike. Don't ever change the photography. It's the best part. And we have another photo on from Judy in Three Lakes, which I haven't seen yet, so I'm going to have to get that up. But there's also an email comment from Walton Hudson, who says our Wisconsin is our very best magazine, bar none. So what do you think of that?
Thank you, Walt. We're humbled and honored that people are rallying behind this. And people seem to be having fun with it, and that's really what we're all about here. We're trying to not only showcase, highlight, and celebrate Wisconsin, but to provide entertaining reading and a fun experience.
Judy's photo is great color in Three Lakes, Wisconsin, of shoreline, and I can almost put myself in my musky boat casting right to that shoreline with a nice big surface plug.
You need to be here right now, Larry.
I know it. I really do know it. It would be a lot of fun to be doing that. So great comments there from people, and there's more as well. We have one of the fun stories that I enjoyed. And this, again, says so many stories of your, so many of your stories are really from just people from Wisconsin. And Mark had from Racine had a great story about Thanksgiving dinner, an epic performance that involved the actress Helen Hayes.
I don't know. Those are the stories that you couldn't make up.
Yeah,
and the gist of it is it's his most embarrassing moment, and also a kitchen calamity rolled up into one. Mark Trinkline from Racine, a caterer who was working in River Hills, which is some years back, about the year 2000, suburb north of Milwaukee, and a hostess had a guest of honor, and it was the First Lady of American Theater, Helen Hayes. 80-year stage career going back to silent movies, won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, a Tony, one of only 12 people in the business to do that. And they were, he, Mark was catering a Thanksgiving dinner and was standing there in his white coat at a carving station to grandly serve the guests. And the hostess put a plate in Helen Hayes' hand and asked her to please start at the buffet line, and she did. And this rather nervous caterer is making small talk with the grand dame of American theater. And as he's talking to her, he feels the turkey sort of slide to the left and plummet to the floor.
But he was quick thinking.
He was quick on his feet. He knelt down and looked at her and said, excuse me, I'll go to the kitchen and get the other one. And he got up and carried it off to the kitchen, where he composed himself, tidied it up a little bit, laid a little parsley on the cut, and grandly brought out the other turkey and proceeded to serve the guests. And the hostess said to him, what'd you do in the kitchen? And he said, we'll talk later. At the end of the night, he's back in the kitchen cleaning up, maybe hiding a little bit, and he hears Helen Hayes leaving because her limo had come up, and she asked permission to speak to the caterer in the kitchen. He said, I knew then my goose was cooked. She walked in, smiled, and shook his hand and said, your name again? He said, Mark. She said, thank you for a lovely meal. And by the way, if there were an Academy Award given for acting tonight, you'd win it hands down.
Oh, man. What a lovely story, isn't it? And kind of typical of some of the stories that we see in our Wisconsin magazine. And, you know, Mike, it's always a pleasure to have a chance to talk with you. I hope we get that chance again. If you're willing, I'm certainly willing, and we have you back and talk some more about Wisconsin and your magazine.
We're always honored to join you, Larry. This is always fun.
A lot of fun. Mike Beano, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. He joins us from his office in Manitouish Waters. We've talked about this in the past. Mike retires, and he goes to Manitouish Waters to retire, and then he gets the idea, well, maybe I should get something started, and gets together with another guy, and suddenly they have a magazine with 100,000 subscriptions, which goes against almost anything that anybody would tell you about the publishing business these days. So they work some magic, and they've got a very fun magazine. I hope you have a chance to look at it if you haven't already. And I hope you'll stay with us, because we are going to turn our attention to our water resources here in the state and managing our water resources. Ken Bradbury, state geologist, coming up next with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.